So Beto or Berto or Umberto, please give me an apology. Apologize for something. Think about something.
Okay.
Either make up or real or something.
All right, all right.
And apologize for something that you did to me.
Okay.
And then we're going to evaluate it based on the psychological literature. Go ahead. Well, wait. Before we do that, let's introduce the podcast.
Okay, okay. Well,
this is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I am chair of the Couple and Family Therapy Program at Antioch University, Seattle, and I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist.
My name is Umberto Castañeda, and I am a professional apologist.
Yeah, I can't roll the R like that. Okay, so go ahead. Apologize.
Oh, Kirk, I guess I should probably say that I'm sorry if what I did or said caused you to feel like bad the other day.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever.
Okay. That's it?
You want more?
No. Okay. So good. All right.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that the best apology of all time?
No, do a...
Okay. Okay. Now I'll do a real one.
Yeah.
But can we analyze the other one too? Because obviously
I
made it a little campy, but...
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So this is a real one. All right. Kirk, I want to honestly apologize for a time in which I was being, I wouldn't call it selfish, as more uninformed and stupid about certain aspects of our relationship, and my actions were not nice, and, you know, I want to apologize.
Okay. Good. Well, that felt sincere.
Psych!
Yeah. All right. Well, the following analysis comes from an article written by Watkins and colleagues published in 2015 called The Ruptured Supervisory Alliance and Its Repair. It's in the Clinical Supervisor Journal. And they refer to a way of analyzing apologies by Kirchhoff and colleagues published in 2009. And they based it on a review of 39 studies, blah, blah, blah. But they identified 10 different elements in the literature identified as components to an apology.
Okay.
As a way of trying to, you know, psychologists love to, like, you know, make things concrete. So they're trying to identify 10 different elements of an apology. What do you think those elements are?
Okay.
And then we'll analyze your
Okay. Acknowledgement of the thing that you're apologizing, of your role, I guess. Acknowledgement of your role and what you're apologizing about.
Okay, well, that's two different things.
Oh, I see, okay.
That's naming the offense.
Acknowledging the offense.
Yeah, and then the thing is also your role.
Acknowledging your role and
Your responsibility.
Your responsibility, okay.
I'd say.
Okay. Acknowledging the other person's... how it might have affected them.
Good. Addressing the emotions of and or damage to the offending party.
Maybe the effects, acknowledging the effects of what they did, the consequence of their actions.
It's kind of the same thing, but yeah.
Maybe offering a repair, like a kind of a... But I'm, you know, like, I'm going to repair it somehow, and here's how.
Yep, that's exactly. Offering reparations.
Yeah. Which I just realized I didn't do in my apology. But okay. then providing context for what your actions, maybe?
Yeah. So attempting to explain the offense, but not trying to explain it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Acknowledging... I know. And then... just asking for forgiveness.
Yeah. So that's 1 and 10, which is just saying I'm sorry. And then 10 is actually requesting that the person accept your apology.
Okay.
So you got 7 out of 10 identified. The only other 3 are conveying emotions like shame or remorse or something.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 is sort of like 3, which is admitting fault.
Okay.
Which is, you know, similar to taking responsibility. So I don't really see how those are different.
I guess maybe one of them could be, you know, I know that it was my words that caused this, but the other one could be, and I did that, and I'm sorry that I, like, it's almost like my words caused it, but I'm at fault.
Right.
I don't know. It's subtle. But.
Yeah. It's maybe it's just like really putting a fine point on this is my fault. And the last one is promising forbearance is what they call it, meaning I want to refrain from doing this again.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. So just to review, statement of apology for one's transgression. For example, just saying, I'm sorry. Just those words, I'm sorry. Naming the offense. For example, what I did was... dot, dot, dot. Number three, taking responsibility for the offense. For example, I am responsible for what happened. Number four, attempting to explain the offense, but not trying to explain it away, which is an interesting thing. I mean, a lot of people say, like, well, you don't want to, like, give excuses. But I find that in a good apology, if you can pull it off well, providing that can be helpful. But you got to be careful with that, because if it sounds like you're making excuses,
right,
a lot of people won't consider it a real apology, you know. Number five, conveying emotions, saying, you know, I feel really bad. I feel bad. You know, I feel just terrible. I'm mortified that I did that.
A comment on the previous one is that the context giving might be more in the sense that, like, look, I want you to know this wasn't me being vicious towards you
right.
on purpose.
Or right. Like, for instance, you know, you might say, you know, I was in a bad mood that day because this other thing happened.
I had nothing to do with you, yeah, unfortunately.
It doesn't excuse what I did, but I just want you to know, like, there were all these circumstances that led up to that event. Or when you said blank before that, I misinterpreted it, and so that's why I said what I said.
Especially, like, if you said something mean or hurtful, right? Like, you're the worst driver I've ever seen. Okay, later you might say, like, listen, you're not a bad driver. Like, I was just in a car accident last week, and I'm hypersensitive about it. Whatever. You know?
I was triggered, and, you know. Number six, addressing the emotions or damage to the offended party. So really just saying, I'm sure I hurt your feelings, or I'm sure that you were upset at me, and that makes sense. Admitting fault, which I'm guessing is just putting a really fine point on, just to remind you, it's my fault. Number eight, promising forbearance. For example, I will try to not ever do this again. I'm going to really try to dedicate myself. Number nine, offering reparation, you know, something tangible to the offended party, you know, like, I will, I don't know, a sexual favor or something. And number 10, requesting apology acceptance, saying, and do you accept my apology?
So, like, you go, you sexually harass someone, and as you're apologizing, you're like, but I can fuck you if you'd like.
So let's evaluate your apology. So number one, you said you're sorry, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Number two, naming the offense. You didn't name the well, you've named it in general because you're trying to keep it general.
This is a podcast.
But you did, basically. Yeah. And I even think I know what you're talking about.
It's when I walked in on you that one time.
Yeah. When you offered to fuck me and I was like, no. Number three, you took responsibility for the offense. You didn't say it was anyone else's fault.
It wasn't me.
Number four, attempting to explain the offense, but not trying to explain it away.
I didn't really get into anything.
Yeah, because again, it's a podcast. You're not trying to...
But, you know, whatever. I didn't even know about that.
Number five, conveying emotions. I think you conveyed your own emotion.
A bit. I'm sure...
I could see it in your eyes. So that's another thing. Like, you don't have to say... This isn't like a thing you have to do in words all the time. But, like, I could see the genuineness in your eyes, honestly. Addressing the emotions of the, you know, offended party. Did you address my emotions?
No.
I don't think you did.
No, I didn't.
Admitting faults. Pretty sure you did that. You didn't promise forbearance to, you know, you didn't promise, you know, that you would refrain from doing
it. Yeah, I don't want to pin myself into a corner here.
Yeah. You didn't offer reparation and you didn't request apology acceptance. Okay. So
it's like five out of,
you know, I don't know. I felt it. It was real.
But how was the first apology?
Yeah. Right. The first apology had nothing in it actually. Right. Cause it wasn't. Yeah. Okay. So according to the research that I looked at here, and it's just so funny when you read psychological research, it's like anyone and their mother knows this is true, but somehow like psychology proves this or demonstrates it. So number one is when the offense is more severe, you have to involve more of the 10 of these elements. So if it's just a minor offense, you could, like, you step on someone's foot, you could just say, I'm sorry.
Can you imagine if you operated like this all the time?
Yeah.
So I put a cup on your table. You're like, no, don't put it on the wood. Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
I acknowledge that it was my...
when I put it on your table...
I will buy you a new
table. It was
table.
My fault. Do you accept my apology? Yeah. So the more severe, more of the 10 need to be demonstrated. Less severe, not as many. Different offense contexts seem to require more or fewer apology components. You know, like if it's at work, for instance, maybe you don't need to do all 10, but if it's in a marriage, maybe you need to do more of them or so. I don't know. In resolving conflict, not all apology components are created equal, with some being more important than others. So, you know, like if you did 8 of them but didn't do taking responsibility or admitting fault, like you could imagine that that might bother some people.
Like, so in my silly example at first, obviously I was doing it, it was a caricature, but unfortunately a lot of people apologize like that. Mm-hmm. They will literally say something like, listen, I'm sorry if you took offense at what I said.
Right. That's not an apology. That's saying, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry you're too stupid to process what I say.
Right. And honestly, I find that people in, because as a, I'm a professional apology facilitator in my job. And I can tell you that the vast majority of people I come across personally and professionally are terrible at apologizing, even though in their heart they want to.
Yeah.
I know that most people really actually want to apologize, but because it's a vulnerable expression, you know, someone can use this against you. It's like, well, remember that time when you did that thing? Well, you know, when you apologize, you're admitting fault. Someone could come back at you, but no one does. When you actually sincerely apologize, people don't use that against you. They only use it against you when you don't apologize. I mean, not all the time, but anyway, so I have personally actually developed over the years as a marital and family therapist. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm a very good apology giver. Not only because I fuck up all the time, but I also just learned a long time ago that if you can dig down deep and actually just sincerely apologize without a single but, I mean, because part of it comes from observing so many bad apologies, you know, in therapy, and just being like, you know, they'll have those kinds of apologies, and I'll just watch it. And I'll just be like, you know, we got to get to the good apology, and then we can move on, you know? And so in my own personal life, I just, for decades now, I've just found myself to be very good at apologizing, whereas other people aren't. You know, most other people just have a harder time with it.
I'm so sorry I was saying those things. They were terrible. But you were being a dick.
Right. Yeah. Because I know that in interpersonal issues, in you know, loving relationships, if you can apologize well, you can erase all bads.
Yeah.
And that's how I've always felt myself, is like, you know, people make mistakes. You lose perspective, you get triggered, you know, you're in a bad mood, or you know, something goes wrong. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone loses perspective. Everyone loses their temper. But, you know, if you can apologize for it sincerely, then I will wipe that clean. You and I got into a fight not too long ago.
Right.
And it was, you know, ridiculous. Both of us, it was nasty. It was a nasty fucking fight.
Yes.
You and I, it was, you know, it was not pleasant. Some, you know, some seriously horrible things were said. And, you know, after you let, it was actually, you know, coincidentally, after we podcasted, we like hit stop on the podcasting, and then we just continued the conversation.
That's right.
Into my kitchen. And then before I even knew what was happening, we were in an argument.
You should never discuss politics, religion, or sex with anyone ever.
Yeah, I guess. And then as soon as you left my place, I'm pacing around and you know, and I'm talking shit behind your back to people in my life, and I'm just like, he said this and he said that, and then eventually I'm just like, well, what am I going to do with this, you know? And then I just thought, well, you know, you and I have been in a lot of fights in our in our 10 years, or enough anyway.
Yeah.
To the point where I can trust that you deep down don't want to actually harm me or hurt my feelings.
Right.
And so I just figured, you know, something must have gone weird. Something must have been triggered, you know, on both of our sides. And so I texted you.
Yes.
And I said something like, you know, I don't know what I said, but I said something like, I'm sorry, or, you know, I got sorry for what I said. I must have been triggered. Now, the full thing I wanted to say was, fuck you. And, you know, yeah, I'm sorry for what I said, but you better fucking apologize for what, you know, like, but that's not what I said.
Right.
What I said, I just apologized because I was 95% sure that that would begin the reparation process and you would apologize right away too, which you did. And then we immediately just started joking around with each other.
Yes.
And just being like, you know, well, you're still a dick, you know, or something like that. And then, you know, and then all was fine. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
So
that was a very frustrating evening when I left because, yeah, I mean, we were just podcasting. And then, you know, before we knew it, we were in a runaway situation. Mm-hmm. And there were no moderators there. There was no one to, like, help, like, you know, and I don't mean moderators as, like, you're right, you're wrong. It was, I mean, I actually mean,
facilitator or mediator or someone to be like, shut up, the two of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it was, yeah, and you know, I'm a sensitive person with my friendships and relationships. So it hit me hard that night as I left. I was like, man, that's, it's not a good way to leave someone's house that you care about, you know? So,
yeah.
But, you know, I was in the same kind of boat. I was like, you know, I think we just need to look cool off because, like, just if I say anything right now, it's going to be bad. And so I was very glad when I got your text. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, whatever. Forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, whenever that happens and I manage to break the ice, it always goes well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, just apologize for your part, take responsibility, you know, be remorseful and show that you care. And that's often all that's needed, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, and when you were apologizing earlier, were you really apologizing for something?
Yeah. The real one. Yeah.
Were you apologizing for this?
No.
Oh, it was something else you did?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you'll tell me later what you're really apologizing for.
Yeah.
Okay, the last part of the research that we can mention here is there are four most important apology components, and maybe you can guess them, Berto. So let me go through the 10 again and when I say one of them that's the most important component, you chime in. Okay. So the first one is statement of apology for one's transgression. This is a very simple thing of just saying the words, I'm sorry, or I apologize. Do you think that's one of the most important ones?
Yes.
Let's see. It is not.
Whoa.
Because it's basically implied in some of the other ones.
I see.
What about number two? Naming the offense. Do you feel like that's one of the important ones out of the 10?
Well, I guess so, because we're having a little bit of uncertainty about what the fuck I was talking about.
But no, actually, okay. Because I think in most situations,
you know what
it's
is,
implied. So. Yeah. Sure. Number three, taking responsibility for the offense.
Yes. This one, I'm going to go yes.
It is not.
Oh my God. I suck at apologizing.
Another one, attempt. I mean, when you hear the later ones, you might go, oh,
I'm sorry. I suck at apologizing.
Attempting to explain the offense, but not trying to explain it away. So the context. Okay, good. Number five, conveying emotions.
Yes.
Yes. Finally. That's right. So that's one of the four. Convey your emotion involved. That makes it real. Number six, addressing the emotions of the damaged party.
Yes.
Is that no?
Oh, that's not one.
Number seven, admitting fault.
Yes.
Yes, very good. So conveying emotions, admitting fault. Number eight, promising forbearance.
No.
Yeah, right. Actually, you were right about a previous one. I wasn't reading this right. Actually,
all of them are wrong.
I apologize. I apologize severely. The way this was written is confusing. You were right already. So you've already said the four. So number one is in order is a statement of apology.
Okay.
For one's transgression. Number two is attempting to explain the offense. Actually, you said no to that. Yeah. And then admitting fault and then finally making, and then conveying your emotions.
So that's interesting. Okay. The emotions I get. At fault, I get. And I'm glad I got the, what's it called? The first one.
Yeah.
Making the apology.
Yeah.
But the
offering the explanation.
Offering the explanations is surprising.
You know, that is surprising because that's usually the part that really bothers people, right?
Yeah.
But I find that when someone apologizes to me, that's a big component I want to hear.
Yeah.
Now, as long as they're not making excuses, but because to me, when people do bad things to me, I figure there's got to be a logical reason. And I kind of want to know that because if someone calls me a name.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I am just, you know, they just out of the blue walk into the room and like shout serious, horrible shit at me. And they just go, you know what? I'm really sorry I did that. And I know I did it. And it's my fault.
I won't do it again.
Yeah. And it's my fault. But you're just like, but why?
You just call me up.
Yeah. Why did you do that? You know, what was the context there?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
The less you know, the better.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode of Psychology in Seattle. Thanks for joining us out there. Please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.
Do they? Do they really deserve it?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That came out wrong.
Yeah.